Give me some choice, which... Okay. Where do I point it? And no. Okay, so up behind me you can see a map of the Muslim world. And although there have been lots of Christian missionaries sent into the Muslim world over the years, including actually a number from our own congregation who have reached out to the Muslim world, in comparison to the number of missionaries who have gone over to non-Muslim peoples, it's actually very few. So the result of that is that more than 40% of the world's unreached people groups are Muslim. Or in Muslim countries. So, there's a few reasons for that. Lots of missionaries to those countries have been killed through what they've been doing, and missionaries in those places continue to be killed for what they're doing. And they've also been quite inaccessible countries a lot of the time. The problem is that if we don't, as the church, begin to reach out more to the Muslim world, we actually aren't going to fulfil the great commission of Jesus that we would make disciples of all nations, all people groups in this earth. But we're not here to take your money or to tell you that you should, you know, pack up your life and go over to the Muslim world, although if you want to do that, that's cool. Definitely a place for that. We're also here to tell you that the Muslim world and the mission field is actually coming to us here in New Zealand. We can't deny that fact anymore, so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. That we've got Muslim people on our own doorsteps, and unless we have a calculated response to that and we've thought about what Jesus might be saying to us, then we're probably going to respond out of fear to that. So if you're there in your seat and you're thinking, well, missions isn't really for me and I'm not really feeling called, I just want to remind us all that it's not really about missions or Muslims at all. This is actually a matter about the glory of God. So if I just go back one. If we look at the amazing scene that John describes in Revelation 7, I'll just read it to you in Revelation 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So it's really all about the centrality of Christ in our world, about Christ bringing glory to the Father, that God's will would be done, his kingdom come here on our earth as it is in heaven. Because his is the kingdom, power and the glory forever and ever. So with a few of those things in mind, we've got three areas that we want to look at this morning. We'll just have a very quick explanation of them, and then we'll actually jump in and have some time to pray about them as well.
So Liz has been talking about why we should be praying for Muslims. I'm going to be talking about what is God doing in the Muslim world, because I think part of the reason that we have find such a challenge in praying for the Muslim world is this idea that it's hard, which it is. Many of us know that there's very little contact often between Muslims and Christianity. If you live in a Muslim country, it's forbidden for Christians to evangelize. Most Muslims never have much contact with the Christian religion, never really hear much about who Jesus is. And it can be easy for us to look at that and to say, well, where is God and where is the hope? But what we're here to say is that that may have been true, but there is hope. Where am I pointing this? Yeah. Gotcha. So this is a graph from one of the most prestigious researchers into what God is doing in the Muslim world. As you can see, the Muslim movements to Christ have just increased exponentially, mainly in the past 30 years. So I'm going to talk about all the shows. So this is starting in the 7th century, which is when Islam began, through to now the 21st century. A Muslim movement to Christ, which he, as he defines it, is over 1,000 believers in one locality coming to know Jesus from a Muslim background. And of course, not all of these movements are just 1,000 people. Some of the sources that I was reading, so 6 million Muslims in Africa have come to know Christ since 2000. So why is it that we're seeing so much more growth of people in the Muslim world coming to Christ? There's a few reasons to talk about. One you've possibly heard a bit about is the way that God is moving in dreams and visions. There are people throughout the Muslim world who've come to know Christ through dreams and visions. But another way is actually through the stuff that's going on in the world, which is really hard stuff. I guess I want to talk about that because I have personal experience from my time over in Jordan. And that's where, because of the current crises, particularly in the Middle East, particularly in Syria, Muslims are coming into contact with Christianity in a way that they haven't before. So when I was in Jordan, Jordan's a country with a population about the size of New Zealand's, but they have 1 million Syrian refugees. They have now moved into Jordan, so it's now getting closer to 6 million people. And Jordan's not a rich country, so the government doesn't want to acknowledge these refugees even exist. They don't want to give them citizenship or give them work, give them housing. And so they're largely sitting in moored in UN refugee camps. And most Muslims who don't have a lot to spare are also ignoring these refugees. But the Christian church, which has been in Jordan for hundreds of years, goes in and out of their little that they have to spare, they're the ones who minister to refugees. And because the government doesn't want to acknowledge these refugees exist, they can't bring any cases against Christians for evangelizing in the camps. And so what you see, and what you're seeing, is thousands of these Muslim refugees saying, well, we are here in trouble, and our Muslim brothers have turned their backs on us, but these Christians, they're the ones who come. They're the ones who love us. And while I was over there, I was meeting with people in Jordanian churches who had been baptizing 150 refugees in the Jordan River just the week before I met with them. So that's what's going on in those countries. But also, when refugees have been leaving the Middle East, leaving Jordan and going into Europe, going to the States or to Australia, to New Zealand, they're coming into contact with Christians. And for a lot of them, they've never heard the message of Christ. They've never been able to. And they're interested because it's forbidden. It's something that they couldn't know about. So there's a lot of hope. There are many, many Muslims who are coming to Christ. But there's also a lot of challenges for these Muslims. And so that's what we're going to lead to in our first bit of prayer, is that, again, as many of you know, for Muslims coming to Christ, there's a lot of struggle with their family, with their culture. It's forbidden. It's something that will earn them, at best, often they'll be, at best they'll often be just like cut off from their families, but at worst there's a threat of persecution or death. So what we're going to ask you to do, which Vanessa talked about, is this is a time for us to talk a little bit, but we also want it to be a time of group prayer. So we've got some prayer points up here. And we're going to ask you to please find a couple of people, groups of three, groups of four.
I'm just going to take over and be a teacher here. I'm going to give you, I usually give my five-year-olds 5 seconds, but I'm going to be generous and give you 10 seconds to get yourself into either a peer or a small group to pray with. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, beep, beep.
So I'll give you a couple of minutes. I'll just pray, but please pray in your groups as well. God, we thank you for what you're doing in the Muslim world. Thank you for the many people who are coming to know Christ. But we pray that you would be continuing to walk with them, to help them through all their challenges.
Okay, let's just finish up the prayer that you're praying. Second prayer point. Oh, there we go. That we want to pray about this morning is Muslims in New Zealand, right here on our own doorstep. We can see up there it says 1% of New Zealanders are Muslim. So not a huge percentage at the moment, but that is only going to grow. There's lots of mosques in Auckland, and what we are finding is that of the Muslims who come to New Zealand, many of them for the first time actually have an opportunity to ask some big questions that back in their home country they just weren't allowed to. So there's groups springing up here in Auckland and all over New Zealand who are trying to minister into that particular need. We're part of one of them. Every Sunday afternoon we go into the Auckland Baptist Tabernacle, and we're part of a group there that is specifically designed to befriend people of Muslim background and help them on that journey of asking some big questions about their faith. So what can we do with those Muslim neighbours who are turning up in our workplaces, our schools? You can pray for them. Pray that they would know the love of Isa, of Jesus, and we can make friends with them. So we've got some prayer points for that as well. Some prayer points up there. So let's get back into your little groups. I'm going to give you 5 seconds this time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all of these Muslim people that you're bringing right here to our country, New Zealand, right to the ends of the earth. You're bringing these people, and we thank you that that many of them are open to know more about you. Lord, would you help us reach out to the Muslims you have put in our own communities and to show them your love. Help us not to respond out of fear. Yeah, and continue to pray in your small groups.
Awesome. Yeah, just to finish up what you're praying, give you a little bit longer. So we've seen that God is working in the Muslim world, and just been talking about what he's doing in New Zealand. And I just want to make one point before we move on from this. We've been praying God would give us opportunities to reach out to Muslims. Most of you know Emma Dyack. And this Friday, I was with Emma as we went into the Muslim Refugee Centre and ran a morning tea to just welcome these new Muslim neighbours into our communities. And I guess the point I just want to make from that is, yes, God is giving us opportunities, but Emma's made that opportunity. And she said, this is something I feel God wants me to reach out to this community, and I'll do what needs to be done, and I'll go and I'll help. And I think there's always a good balance between leaning on God and listening to what he wants you to do and seeing a need. So the last section we had that we're going to talk about is, why are we talking about this now? Obviously, it's the month of prayer in South Denial, as Lyndon's been talking about. It's also
that's managed to jump.
It's also the month of Ramadan. And I want to talk about why is that we particularly have been talking about Muslims at this time. On Friday, we in Venice were at an all-night prayer vigil for something called the Night of Power, which is the kind of culminating point of Ramadan. Ramadan is the time that Muslims believe Muhammad was given the Quran. That Night of Power is, sorry. And it's the time that they fast and they pray to seek revelation from God. And so I guess that's the crux of what our final bit of prayer points we want to pray into is that we know that God is doing stuff among Muslims, and we pray that this would be a time that they would find him. We know the Bible says that those who seek find. Ramadan is also a time for reconciliation among Muslim families, among the communities. And we know that there are many challenges between the Muslim world and the Western world and within the Muslim world. So we can pray for reconciliation there. And finally, the end of Ramadan, which is just coming up, called Eid, is time for celebrating God's goodness. So we can pray for these things, pray for revelation of God to Muslims, that we'd be able to partner with him in helping them to find him. Pray for reconciliation. I think that's a central thing that is the central thing God is doing, is reconciling the world to himself. Reconciliation between Muslims and non-Muslims and within the Muslim world. So, again, just ask you to go back into your groups and this final time, just anything that you feel inspired to pray. Also, anything that God brings up about interactions with the Muslim world or about mission in general, just encourage you to be involved in that. Just give you a couple more minutes to finish up. Okay, thank you. That is the last thing that we have as prayer points for you guys. But to finish up, I just want to give kind of a little bit of an encouragement and a challenge. Me and Vanessa have come up and we've talked about mission and how that relates to people from the Muslim world, because that's something that's close to our heart. That's a mission that we feel particularly called to. But I think we all know that we are all on commission with God. And for all of you, there will be different things that God stirs your heart on. There will be different things that you can say, well, this is something I feel God is leading me towards. And for all of us in this month of mission and self-denial, I think seeking God for those things and listening to where he wants you to be stepping out in new ways is a big, important part of that. And so I just encourage and challenge you in that. And I'll just pray to finish. But thank you all for listening to us. Father, I thank you so much that you're a God of mission, that you're a God who is actively seeking relationship with everyone in this world. God, I pray that you would help us all to be a missional people, to be people who have your heart for those who don't know you. You would help us all to see the ways that you are calling us to step out and to do that. I pray that you'd bless each of us as we go forward into the week and help us to know you more. Amen.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you for sharing your journey. I'm excited. I'm excited for the opportunities that you are finding for yourself in those places. Believe it or not, it even happens for us here in this church. We have language classes that happen in our spaces throughout the week, and there are a number of Muslims that come along to that, and we've been able to share morning tea with them. The different ministries throughout the week have had morning teas with them, lunches, and it's such a privilege to be able to share with them who Jesus is to us. At Easter time, at Christmas time, also have been able to share that story. And so we just pray that God will continue to reveal himself. I do want to pause here because there is an assumption sometimes, and it's a terrible assumption, that everybody in this room actually knows who Jesus is. And if you've been sitting here and you've been looking and you've been wondering, what's going on? Who are all these people that gather together and pray? Why do they pray? Well, it's because this Jesus that we've been talking about, this God who loves us, we believe he's real. We believe he's alive, that he's not just this thing in the distance and outer space, but he's actually present here by his Spirit. And so we recognize that. And we recognize that not because we're smart, but because God has opened our eyes in a way that only he can. And so if this is a journey that you would like to explore, we want to say we'd be so privileged to walk with you. We offer that humbly, not from a position of arrogance that says we have the answer. There is a part of us that we truly believe we do have the answer, but we believe that's been a gift from God to us, and we truly believe that he desires that all would know him. And so if you're in that place where you would love to sit down and have a conversation and have somebody pray, not just for you, but with you, have a conversation with God, then please come and see me. Come and see just about everybody in this room. Well, we'd be so privileged to share who Jesus is and who he is to us and who we believe he desires to be to everybody in this world. As a fellowship, we've been looking specifically at the words of Jesus as recorded in the Bible. And this is something that I've been reading to us each week as we go out to remind us that we're not just here for ourselves, not just to feel good from Jesus, thank you, Jesus, and then carry on with our life, but actually we're recognizing that Jesus has given himself to us for a reason, and this is this reason. Let me read it out to you. This is Jesus' words speaking to us. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples in all lands, in all nations, to every person. Teach them about me, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And be sure of this. It's what Jesus says to us. Be sure of this. I am with you, always, to the very end of the age. Bless you. Have a great week. Outside in the foyer, there's a bunch of couches. Dave has been buying more couches, and we're thankful for that because he's created some wonderful space out there. Spend some time together. If you're visiting for the first time, please go to the coffee station or go to the coffee station. I'll make sure that there's a welcome pack there for you. It has a card that means you can clip and get yourself a few free coffees. It's just a gift from us to you to welcome you. We'd love to have a coffee with you and a bite to eat. And there's also a little space out there where Lois is ready to receive for those that are elderly and want a bit of a space where they won't be bowled over by the kids as they run in and out. That's especially for you over there. There's a little sign. Enjoy. We love you guys. We love you all. And I look forward to seeing you tonight at 7 p.m. where, as it says in the notice, the music team have been lit off the leash. I'm not sure what the leash was, but they've been lit off it.